Well, it's that time of the year again, where we have four Sundays before Christmas. And traditionally, we call this the Advent season, and Advent means arrival or the coming of there. And so it's a reminder of us of looking back in time to that first coming when Jesus entered this world as a baby there born in Bethlehem. And as we think about the birth of Christ, there are typically four topics that are related to the birth of Christ that as we focus on his birth, we come to use as themes, you could say. And those four topics are hope, peace, joy, and love. And so today we're going to focus on this topic of hope and how we have hope in Christ today because of him coming to this earth some 2,000 years ago. And today we're going to look at an individual that many of you are familiar with, a man by the name of John the Baptist. And we'll see how really when John came on the scene, he was a messenger of hope to the people of Israel. And so we're going to look at John's message and his life today and how we can have hope as well. There's four aspects of John I want to look at today, and that's number one, John's assignment, what God called him to do. Number two is John's birth. Number three, John's message. And then number four is John's life. And so let's begin with John's assignment. What was John's assignment? Well, you actually read John's assignment in our opening reading today. In our responsive reading, you read these words. It was the voice of one calling, "In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord." And that comes out of Isaiah chapter 40. And that's a prophecy about John the Baptist, of how he would be the one who would prepare the way for the Lord, for the coming of Jesus. Well, how many of you know that preparing things is not always easy, not always glamorous? If you have a garden, some of you have gardens, you know that to prepare the garden, it's hard work. You sweat, you toil, you probably get out the rototiller, right? And you have to till up that hard soil. You get dirty. You probably sweat as you're doing that. And yet, as the Daiglers bring in their massive squash and zucchini for us to eat, you know, I don't see all that preparation that goes into that. We just see the final wonderful result. If you go upstairs on the social hall, you'll notice a fresh coat of paint. But what you probably didn't see was Jeff and Joe patching holes, sanding holes, priming walls, sanding walls for hours before that final coat of paint. And I'm sure more recently, many of you are familiar with the holiday we just had, Thanksgiving Day, right? And some of you maybe made some preparations. How many of you were the ones in charge of cooking the turkey, preparing the turkey, right? With no power, that was fun, right? But preparing the turkey. Or maybe you had to peel potatoes and get the potatoes. Or maybe you made a pie. There was all this preparation that went into the big meal. And yet, there are some people, we won't name any names, but some people just went from watching the Thanksgiving Day parade or maybe a football game to the table, and there's all this great, wonderful food right before them. They didn't prepare a thing. They just ate to their belly was full, and then they went back to the game. And so the key here is that preparation, preparing things, again, it's not always glamorous. It's not easy. And there's usually not much glory that goes to the one who is doing all that preparation. And this was John's assignment. He would be the one preparing the way for the Lord. He would not receive glory. It would be a hard job, a difficult task that John was called to do in his life. We get some more insight into how John was to prepare the way for the people of God in Malachi chapter 4. It's important to point out that Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And chapter 4 is the last chapter of Malachi. And verses 5 and 6 are the last two verses of the Old Testament. And yet here is what we read in Malachi chapter 4. Verses 5 and 6, it says, "See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I would come and strike the land with a curse." Now, We'll see in a little bit when we get to John's birth that this Elijah that's being spoken of here by the prophet Malachi was fulfilled in the person of John the Baptist. He is that Elijah who was to come. But we see that one way that John would prepare the way for Jesus was to prepare the hearts of God's people. And how was he to prepare their hearts? Well, he would literally turn the soil of the hearts of the people. The people who had hard hearts, he would try to soften the hearts with his message. He would turn over their hearts, you could say, so that the hearts of the fathers would be turned to the children, and the children would turn to their fathers. This softening, this love that we see between parent and child that would take place as people look to God. And John pointed people to Jesus. Well, how did John's assignment bring hope to the people of Israel? Well, as I said, Malachi was the last book of the Old Testament. And that was written about 400 years before John the Baptist was born, before he came on the scene. And so what we have is no prophetic voice. God has not raised up a prophet to speak to the people of Israel for 400 years. It's often referred to as the 400 years of silence. And now John comes to be this mouthpiece for God, to speak to God's people this message of hope, to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. This was John's assignment. Did you know that God's given you an assignment? Maybe it's not to be like John the Baptist and prepare the way. But you know what? As a believer in Christ, he's given us all an assignment to do. God says he's given us all gifts. If we have the Spirit of God in us, then he's gifted us to do something. Are you doing what God has called you to do? Are you fulfilling your assignment for God? If not, that's a good question to bring before God and in prayer and ask God to show you how he wants to use you in this day. Well, number two is John's birth. And we find this recorded in Luke chapter 1, as the historian Luke records this for us about John's birth. In verses 5 through 17, we read this: in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Well, there are many more details in Luke 1 about the birth of John the Baptist, but clearly John the Baptist is that Elijah that was spoken of in Malachi as the angel here talks about the heart being turned again. And this is clearly an indication of John the Baptist being that Elijah. And if you still have any doubts about that, Jesus confirms this in Matthew 11. Let's look at that. Matthew 11. Speaking about John the Baptist in verses 12 through 14, he says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. He's talking about John the Baptist. In verse 14, he says, "And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come." And Jesus is saying that Elijah that Malachi prophesied about some 400 years ago, that guy, that Elijah, he is John the Baptist. He is the one who has fulfilled that specific role. Well, how did John's birth bring hope to God's people? Though they didn't know how John would prepare the way for the Lord, and though they may not have known how John was going to turn the hearts of God's people, how that would all happen, because it would happen some 30 years down the road, they knew this, that John was special. He had a special calling upon his life. And so we see, as we continue to look at the birth of John the Baptist, as you read that, you'll find that John's father, Zechariah, he had some doubts about this message that he'd received from the angel. And because he doubted the angel, Gabriel, what happened? Well, many of you know he was unable to speak. He was mute for that entire pregnancy that Elizabeth was carrying John in her womb there. But after John is born, on the eighth day, when they decide to give the baby a name, which was the Jewish tradition, when that boy was going to be circumcised, they would give him a name. And so Elizabeth said, "We're going to name him John," because that's what the angel told her to name him, right? And the people were like, "Well, why would you name him John? You don't have any relatives named John. I mean, shouldn't you name him Zechariah after his father?" And so they start sign languaging, if you will, with Zechariah. And Zechariah grabs a writing tablet. And he writes down these words: "His name is John." And he shows everybody, "Hey, his name is supposed to be John." And as soon as that happens, Zechariah's tongue is loosed and he's able to speak. And he's able to praise God for the birth of his son, John. And we see that what happens is that the people are amazed at what happened to Zechariah, how he was unable to speak, and then immediately he could speak again. And they say this about John. They say, "What then is this child going to be?" They may not have known all the details about John the Baptist, but they say, "Hey, this is a special child. There's something special about this child that's been born to Zechariah and Elizabeth in their old age. This is a special child. God is up to something. God is doing something through this child." And you know what? God wants to do something in your life. He wants to do something in my life as well. Are we available? Are we open to what God wants to do in our lives as well? Well, number three is John's message. What was John's message? I think many of you know it can be summed up in one word. And that word starts with the R, and it's the word repent. Right? John had a message of repentance. What is repentance? Well, it literally means to change your mind. But it's not just to change your mind, but it's to change your mind in such a way that your life changes as well. This is what repentance is. It's not just saying I'm going to do something different. You actually do something different with your life. And again, this was John's message. As we read about John, we know that he came out of the wilderness, out of the desert, and he came wearing this clothing made of camel's hair, and he had this leather belt wrapped around his waist, much like Elijah. Elijah dressed with that in that same kind of way. And John ate, this was his diet, locusts. You know, remember what locusts, Carter? We locusts the other night in kids club. Remember the bugs with the wings there? The locusts that came in one of the plagues, the locusts, remember? It's coming back to you? All right, we'll talk later. Anyway, locusts, he ate locusts, these were bugs, and he ate wild honey. That was his diet. He was kind of a radical kind of man, and he came on the scene preaching this: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." That was his message. And people came from all over Jerusalem, Judea, the surrounding regions, and they came and they were baptized by John, confessing their sins, being baptized in the Jordan River. And we see that John's message of repentance was for all of Israel. It was for the common folk and it was also for the religious elite. Because we see as John is baptizing people in the Jordan River, the religious leaders are standing by, perhaps even thinking, what does this nut job think he's doing? And John says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." You see, they were called to repent as well, the religious leaders. Well, how did John's message of repentance bring hope to God's people? Because you think of it as a pretty radical message. When someone tells you you need to change your ways, most people don't like that. We like to be stuck in our ways, right? So here's the message that John is bringing to the people. This hardcore message of repentance. And he basically told the leaders, hey, basically turn or burn was his message. He said the axe is already at the root of the trees. And every tree that does not bear good fruit, it's going to be chopped down, it's cut down and thrown into the fire. Turn or burn is what John preached. That was his message. How could that bring hope? Well, because true repentance, genuine repentance, is a beautiful thing. It is a life-transforming thing. And true repentance, genuine repentance, leads to this. It leads to the forgiveness of sins. And this was what John was called to do as well. This baptism was a baptism of repentance, of cleansing, a washing of sins. This was the idea behind John's baptism. And John's father, Zechariah, prophesied about this. Again, as we look at Luke chapter 1, I encourage you, if you get time today, just read that whole chapter of Luke chapter 1. But we read these words as John prophesies over his son, these words in 76 through 79. He says, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to do what? To prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through what? Through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." This repentance, this forgiveness of sins, is what ultimately brings salvation of the soul. It brings peace with God. And this should have been a reason for great hope for the people of Israel as John prepared the way for the Messiah. Remember what John also said when he saw Jesus. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," right, "who takes away the sin of the world." John's main message was salvation can be found in Christ, in his message, in his life. By trusting in him, by believing in him and turning from sin, your sins can be forgiven. But sadly, a few years down the road, after the ministry of Jesus, many would forget that message, wouldn't they? Because as it came time for the cross of Christ, many were looking for what kind of Savior? Not someone who would cleanse them from their sins and wash their sins away, but someone who would give them earthly salvation, like earthly deliverance. God, save us from our political enemies. This is what we want. And their eyes were on that kind of salvation rather than the precious salvation of having their sins forgiven. And so what do we find on that Palm Sunday? The people are crying out, what? "Hosanna, save now, Jesus. Set up your kingdom, reign now. We want this earthly deliverance." And what they missed was through his death and resurrection, we have a spiritual deliverance that does not compare with any earthly blessing that we may receive. And finally, number four is John's life. Again, we looked at his message, which was repentance. But John's life was one of great boldness. John spoke the truth. Didn't matter who you were. Didn't bother him. Didn't bother him. He was not intimidated at all by anyone. The religious leaders, I mean, could you imagine him calling them out and saying, "You brood of vipers"? These were people that people looked up to and adored as religious leaders. He said, "You guys are a brood of vipers. You're snakes." He knew their hearts by the Spirit of God. He was not afraid of religious leaders. He was not intimidated by political authority or political leaders as well. Because what do we find him saying to King Herod? "Hey, Herod, you know what you're doing right now? You're hooked up with your brother's wife. That's unlawful. You're an adulterer." He called him on the carpet for it. And what happened? Well, Herod ended up throwing him into prison. And what did that lead to? Eventually, as many of you know, John the Baptist was beheaded in prison. The king took the head of this Jesus freak, if you know that song, right? If not, Google it. Great song. Put it on your playlist. Jesus freak. Anyway, the king took the head of the Jesus freak, John the Baptist. John's life was bold, but he was also humble. Oftentimes in life, when we come across people who we may call, quote, bold, sometimes there's a bit of arrogance that goes along with that. They think they have all the answers, they know it all, they want to tell you everything, and there's oftentimes a lack of humility for those who are bold. But with John, he was bold, but yet he was incredibly humble. He knew his place before God. And so listen to what John says about Jesus. Matthew 3:11, we see this. John says, "I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." John says, my baptism that I did, that is so small compared to what's coming, compared to the baptism of Christ when he fills his people with the very Spirit of God. And that blaze of fire fills their souls. That's so much different. John says, I'm not even worthy to carry the sandals of Jesus. Other gospels put it this way. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie the sandals of Jesus. This was the humility that John had. We also see his humility in these words. Famous words in John chapter 3, verse 30. John says, he, referring to Jesus, he must become what? He must become greater, and I must become what? Less. John says, Jesus, you need to increase and I need to decrease. When I'm in awe of the majesty and glory of Christ, it causes me to fall upon my knees in humility before a holy God. And John says, I don't want to get that mixed up. I don't want to put me and Jesus on the same level or even maybe think I'm better than Jesus. No. Jesus, you're way up here, and I'm way down here. This was John's humble attitude. And while John was called, quote, great by Jesus, we read it earlier, John was not perfect. John struggled to understand the plan of God. One of the most encouraging things I find about John is that though he saw great things, God gifted him, he gave him assignment, John was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth, incredible, John still had doubts about the plan of God. John doubted that, Jesus, are you really the Messiah? And so we see John, he would send his disciples, while John is in prison, he sends his disciples and he says, hey, I want you to ask Jesus if you're the one, or should we expect somebody else to come after you? We may ask, well, how could this be? After all John had seen and known, being filled with the Spirit, how could John have any doubts about Jesus? I think one reason is, as we consider the people of Israel and their expectation of an earthly Messiah, an earthly king, who's going to reign and rule, who's going to make those rough places level and smooth. It's going to be nice and easy. And John says, hey, wait a minute, my life isn't nice and easy right now. I'm in prison. Jesus, are you really the one? He had his doubts. And yet Jesus lovingly reassures John and says, John, relax, I'm the one. I am indeed the one. Because you know what's going to happen? The blind are going to see. The deaf are going to hear. The lepers are going to be cleansed. And yes, even the dead are going to be raised. Yes, I am the one. I am the one, John. So John, take heart. Just be faithful even unto death. Because you've done your job, John. You've done what God has asked you to do. You've given the message that the Father gave you to speak. You've been faithful, John. You've lived a life of boldness and humility. And God indeed has a plan. And therefore, John, you can trust in me. And you can have great hope even as you sit in a prison cell. Today, I don't know what you're going through. Maybe you feel like you're in a prison, like John. Maybe you're questioning God's plan and what God is doing in your life. Hey, be assured, just as John was assured, that God's on his throne. God's working out all things together for the good of those who love him, those who've been called according to his purpose. Well, today, as we look back on the message and life of John the Baptist, we too can have great hope. How is that? Well, because this one that John prepared the way for ultimately laid down his life for sinners like you and sinners like me. See, not only was Jesus that shepherd that was spoken about in Isaiah 40 that you read this morning, he's going to be that shepherd that will lead his young and carry the lambs close to his heart. What a picture of our precious good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Jesus is that shepherd of Isaiah 40, but he's also the sheep of Isaiah 53. He's that lamb that was led to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was placed upon Christ, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the Savior. And he came to give us hope today. Not just a temporary hope, but an eternal hope. And so today I ask you, do you have that hope? Do you have that hope? That hope of salvation that comes only through repentance and trusting and believing in Jesus Christ? If not, then today come to the one who came not to make your life easy, give you this level path where there's no bumps in the road, but he came to destroy or to annihilate that mountain of sin that stood between you and God. And he says this, I'm removing your sin as far as the east is from the west. So far shall your transgressions be moved from you. Jesus is our intercessor. He is the one who stands between sinful man and holy God. He bridges the gap, and he does that through the cross, as he absorbed the wrath of God for you and for me, so that we might have eternal life. We might have eternal hope today. And if you don't have that hope, then I pray that you look to Christ. Look to the one who loved you enough to die for you, to pay the price for your sins, forgive you, cleanse you, make you whole. You can be his child by trusting in Christ today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the life of John the Baptist. And Father, what a radical, obedient man of God who is just, as Jesus said, there's no greater prophet than John. But Lord, we know that John was not perfect and he still struggled like all of us do. We doubt at times. And so, Lord, help us. We do believe, but help us to overcome our unbelief, Lord, at times. Help us to believe. Help us to trust that you have a plan in our lives to use us for your good and for your glory, just like you used John the Baptist. And Lord, at this time of year, as we look back upon the birth of Christ, may we remember his main mission was to save us from our sins. And we need that more than anything else in life, Lord. And I pray that each one here today would have taken that step of faith and turned from sin and trusted in Jesus. Lord, we love you and thank you for your sacrifice, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.